This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Vol Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket.
What's going on and welcome to what we hope is your favorite sports talk radio program. We're Idaho Sports Talk, Prater and the Ball Game. I'm Johnny. JP running our board and my partner for, 15 months, Mike Prater.
Nice.
Hanging out here in the Datatel studio and got some killer guests today. We think we got some pretty damn entertaining topics, too, I'd say, for those in store for this Wednesday edition of Idaho Sports Talk. I'd say this is going to be a pretty good show for those folks, and we obviously want you to be a part of it on the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline and Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Same number, 208-424-9300. What are you liking about this show today, Prater?
Hockey, hockey, hockey. Nobody wants to talk about hockey, and we're only going to talk about hockey for a couple minutes, but little Barry Melrose here in about 10 minutes. I like Barry Melrose.
Me too. Barry Melrose is funny. I know we got some good questions for him talking hockey.
We do have good
just
questions.
Just get his thoughts on life.
How do you know your questions are good?
I don't. Mine stink, but I have a feeling yours are going to be amazing.
What if I don't have any? What if I forgot?
I know that's not the case. No, but that'll be fun with Barry Melrose. And I start my little PA gig tonight over there at ICA Arena and excited for that with the Steelies $2 beer night, I believe, tonight, every Wednesday game. They got a Steelheads game, so we'll do that. Several job openings, more than several, in major college football, Prater. And it's been a while since we've done a draft, right? We love drafts around here. This topic, this was a no-brainer for us. We need to draft the best FBS coaching jobs available. We're doing it today.
The hell's that?
During the Beef O'Brady's College Football Hour. That's JP. Actually, dude, today, well done, JP. That's a heck of a start. Pressing that button. That's our draft day button. Just getting everybody ready for that particular segment, Beef O'Brady's College Football Hour. And a few stars from the Boise State program. A trio of stars, Prater, we're going to hear from today, and I'm pretty darn excited, man.
Yeah, we had a chance earlier today to talk to Khalil Shakir, George Helani, and J.L. Skinner, and had a chance to talk about them and senior day, and they're not all seniors, but they all got questions to ask about their future and where they want to go. So we got three different superstar football players, and we got three different answers, ball game. Khalil Shakir, he's gone. I'm going to break the news right now. He's done. He's gone. Saturday is his last game on the blue, and he's 100% gone, although he said 99.9% after saying, yes, yes, I'm gone. George Helani, I believe, is 100% staying. J.L. Skinner, I'm going to say 70% gone, 30% here. He's got some things to figure out. We're going to break that down in the 5 o'clock hour ball game.
What do you guys think about J.L. Skinner? Gone? Or is he staying? Or what do you think he should do? Text that. 208-424-9300 on the Cloverdale Plumbing text line. We'll read some of those throughout the show. Yeah, first off, Shaq. I mean, this was, you know, we're not, you know, no surprise here, Prater. We all knew he was probably going to do this. And I like how, you know, and getting to know Khalil over the last couple of years since I took this gig and have interviewed him a bunch. You know, I kind of expected that, and I was glad that he just kind of came out. He didn't leave anything. Well, you never know. I'm never going to say never. Like, he came out and just kind of like, yeah, you know, that's probably it for me, guys. Yeah, you know, this has been the plan, and we've succeeded at this, and I feel that I'm ready. He said that. Tremendously confident player, and the fans know that too, is Khalil Shakir. And that's going to be, you asked him, talked to him about some of the emotions and stuff. It's going to be an emotional senior night for him because he is absolutely planning on this being his last one. Now, he can come back. Let's just throw that out there. He does have a year of eligibility left. I believe two of them, right? If the COVID year and whatnot, but maybe just one.
But yeah, I haven't looked into that.
It wouldn't matter.
He's gone. He's gone. It doesn't even matter. He's gone, 100% gone. Khalil Shakir's last game on the blue will absolutely be on Saturday. And, yeah, it'll be emotional. Senior day is always emotional, especially if you know you have a lot of future in your life. He's going to talk to a lot of family. He's going to have a lot of family here. A lot of families helping him make this decision, and it's going to be a big moment for him. And 23 other seniors as well. 24 seniors will be honored on Saturday. That's a big class.
That feels really big, doesn't it?
And there's actually 27 seniors on Boise State's roster. They're juggling some numbers and doing some funny stuff. And, you know, of those 24 seniors, I think 19 of them could come back. And I know that sounds weird, but everybody gets a free COVID year. Not everybody's done it. So, you know, 19 of these guys could come back. It's a senior day, but that doesn't necessarily mean you won't see them again next year.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about, Mike, because usually senior days aren't this much. Do you think it's more emotional for the guy like Shakir who's leaving to go to the NFL, or, you know, throw another name out there, I mean, who probably wouldn't, you know, a senior who's going to run there, say a Dante Harrington or something, where it might, this is his last home football game ever, regardless of the league. I mean,
he could come back. Harrington could come back.
He could.
So, yeah, I don't know. That's an individual choice in terms of how you handle those kinds of emotions.
Yeah, I just wonder what that would be like. Anyway, good for Khalil Shakir. And what about, what'd you take away from, you know, we're going to really deep dive 5 o'clock, but what'd you take away today getting a chance to talk to George Helani?
George Helani's happy where he's at. George Helani's healthy. George Helani says he's a man of very few words, doesn't really speak a lot, but lets you know exactly what he's thinking. And at this point, I fully expect him to come back. He doesn't know that for sure, but George Helani should come back. George Helani needs to come back. George Helani needs to come back and prove that he can stay healthy for an entire football season. If he can do that, he's going to head to the NFL as a draft pick, just like these previous guys before him. So he made that message very, very clear that he's coming back.
I think George Helani, first off, next year is going to be the big decision time for him this time next year. But with George Helani, what I took away there to Prater today is if he does decide to leave, that's going to be the big jaw-dropping story of the offseason. You're going to see that, wait, what? Helani is leaving? I'm just saying, if he plays extremely well, obviously he's got to stay healthy for a full season, I think. And that has gotten away from him the last 2 years. So I think that's the biggest thing for Helani, dude. Stay healthy an entire stinking season and then figure out what your path is. And Skinner's kind of the in-between guy here, right? I mean, he's got the eligibility. By the way, Skinner and Helani are not on the list of seniors being honored on the blue. J.L. Skinner is not running out with their, neither is George Helani. So you won't see them run out and have that magical moment with mom and dad or girlfriend or whomever on the blue. Skinner's just another junior on the roster. He could leave early. Again, the COVID year is kind of funny. It works both ways. It gives you a year of service, so to speak, but it also gives you the option to kind of remove that year of service. I know players who are leaving early and they count the COVID year, and some of those guys played on teams, Prater, that played 5 games, and that year counts towards their NFL draft eligibility. So, for example, Skinner last year, that's a credited year. So he could move. He could leave early. Just kind of depends, I think, obviously, and he'll talk about that in a couple hours with us here, kind of why he would stay and kind of why he would go. But I will say this, I really like the transparency today, man. It was cool hearing Skinner and Shakir especially talk like that. Didn't you think so on that front?
Yeah, absolutely agree. Absolutely.
So we got a lot of stuff to get to. Barry Melrose is coming on. Do I dare ask Barry Melrose any advice for the beginning of my hockey career tonight?
That's probably my first question. That's definitely my first question.
You know, I start a hockey career tonight. I'm a hockey guy. I mean, what the hell? I mean, do I look any different, guys? Am I sound a little different today, knowing that, hey, I mean, I start career number 2 today?
Are you showing up to work in your new job in your Beastie Boys t-shirt?
No.
You got some clothes?
I do.
Okay, good. Just making sure you're going to take care of that business.
Just so everybody knows, you're not going to be wearing skates tonight. It's not that type of job, right?
Well, gee, thanks for clearing that up, JP. I was really concerned. I was really curious about that one.
Well, he's not getting into too many details right now. We've talked about it, but...
We've been talking about it for a month, JP. Ad nauseum.
Oh, guys. Yeah, no skates for me tonight, guys. If that did get out there and anybody was in question, I'm doing the public address announcing. And I don't know if Barry's going to have a lot of tips on that, but we're going to ask him. But coming up next, Barry Melrose, ESPN's lead hockey analyst and a good friend of Idaho Sports Talk. He comes on our show a few times a year, and this will be the first of that time or that those appearances this year. Let's have some fun with this on Idaho Sports Talk. First, guys, Sweet Bids. I talked about these yesterday. They are, again, live at KTIK.com. You can bid on local items such as furniture, art, jewelry, firearm classes, wedding photography, even a new mattress, plus exotic cruises and vacations. You bid, you save. Sweet Bids at KTIK.com.
Sweet Bids is live now at KTIK.com. Bid on local items like furniture, art, firearm classes, wedding photography, even mattresses. Plus, exotic cruises and vacations. You bid, you save. Sweet Bids now at KTIK.com.
Oh, I'd bet everything in my wallet that our next guest is digging on some Guns N' Roses. And yeah, we love our football here too, but we are growing to hockey. Yes! Welcome back, Prater on the Ball Game, Idaho Sports Talk. Go to our Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, ESPN hockey lead analyst and one of the best in the business, Barry Melrose, with us. Comes on our show from time to time, usually beginning of the year, end of the year, good stuff there. Barry Melrose, you son of a gun. Welcome back to Boise, my man.
Thank you very much. It's always great to talk to you guys.
Guns N' Roses? Meh.
Actually, Guns N' Roses were played in our bus all the time when I was coaching in Seattle. There was always Guns N' Roses. As a matter of fact, I made the guys, I got so sick and tired of it, I made the guys wear microphones or headphones. I just couldn't take it anymore. But everybody on that bus played Guns N' Roses. So it's, I know the tape very well.
Speaking of Seattle, what's up with my Kraken, man? You know I'm from there, and you know I'm watching more hockey this year than I've ever watched in my life. And assess my Kraken so far early in this season.
Good. I think you should be very happy. I think it's it looks like a great organization. The city is fantastic. The building's fantastic. Every game they're in, they're never getting beat 6-0. They're competing in every game. And I always tell people, and you being a Seattonian,
yeah.
Have you ever done that tour underneath the streets?
Oh, hell yeah, I have, man. Yeah, of course.
That thing's unbelievable. I took the Thunderbirds there because we're always looking for team bonding, and it was neat. Like it was, anyone that listens, I tell them, take your family to the walk underneath the streets of Seattle. It's fantastic. So hopefully people will start going to that thing. I don't know how good they do financially, but it is really, really interesting what's underneath the streets.
Absolutely. Like there was a fire or something, so they built like this underground. I think that's part of the history, but that is an absolute amazing exhibit. I'm glad Barry Melrose knows the cool things to do in Seattle. Barry, Seattle, you've always thought it was a hockey town. Is this now when you can go to other people in the hockey community and say, kind of, see, I told you, I know it's still early, but it looks like Seattle and the Kraken are going to be one heck of a fit, huh?
Well, without a doubt. We've got the great battles. Now you got Vancouver involved. That's going to help those two teams, the crowds, instant hatred between those two cities. The building, from everything I hear, I haven't been in the new building. But I saw the fans in the old building when you're limited to 2 gallons a period. You couldn't have 2 gallons a game. You were limited to 2 gallons of beer a period. So I know there's some good drinkers in Seattle, and that's going to bode well for the crowd. But I think they're going to be great. I think they've got a great organization. They've got great people in charge. It looks like they got no shortage of cash. You know, everybody's looking for buildings right downtown. Seattle's is right downtown, right by the tower. So I really think that it's going to be a home run. I think Seattle's going to be, you know, I'm not saying they're going to win this year like Vegas did. And that's probably one of the things that everyone's saying, well, Vegas did it. The rules that Vegas got their players are completely different than the players that were available for Seattle. And people got to realize that because after Vegas won, all those games and went to Stanley Cup Finals, they realized the other teams did. We gave Vegas too good of players. We gave them a better team than we had. So that was definitely not the case this year. They're good players. I love how hard they play and stuff, but they didn't have the lineup available to them that Vegas had when they came into the NHL.
He's a former player, he's a former coach, and according to his Twitter account, he's a hockey lover, at NHL Barry Melrose. Barry, let's dive into a little bit more hockey. Let's talk about, actually on your Twitter feed, it also says when you have a tag of your specific location, you say, I'm on a television over a bar somewhere. That is so true and so accurate. Anytime you walk down a bar, you can see SportsCenter, and there's Barry Melrose. And we all know that NHL and the ESPN are back together again. It's a beautiful marriage. Hockey games games all over the place. I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's talk about ESPN and its new relationship with the National Hockey League. How's it going so far?
Going great. I talked to the bosses in Bristol, and everyone's raving about what's going on. People are always, well, ESPN didn't like hockey. ESPN didn't like hockey. ESPN loved hockey. ESPN was the first partner, the NHL was the first partner that the NHL had. And they had them for a long time until 2004. And then other networks became involved. But there's a lot of people in Bristol that love hockey, and they're all coming to the forefront now. And guys that left hockey when the NHL left ESPN, they're back now. And these guys are the best directors and producers and everything that there are in the NHL. So it's a great group of guys. It's a fun group of guys. And again, NBC did a good job. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that people still, when they're in a bar, they want to look up. They want to see ESPN on the screen, and they want to see the NHL on ESPN. And that's what the players love. They love watching it on ESPN. We all love ESPN. And so far, so good. It's been great. And we've had some of the games haven't been great yet with the scheduling, but that'll change. And it's always a tough time right now with football going so strong and college football going so strong. This is nothing new. And this will all be things will get tough again when football's done and then hockey's got everything to themselves.
Working for ESPN, working and living in the National Hockey League, I know that's your life, so I'll accept your biased answer, but how can ESPN make the National Hockey League better?
Try things. That's what ESPN does. They have a bunch of guys that are creative as heck that show the point at 4 o'clock. That's a great show. People should watch it. The plan is that'll be a seven-day-a-week show when the playoffs start. And that's going to be a hit. And we got the music back. People love that. And they're going to try everything. They're going to try stuff that works in other sports. They're going to try things that no one's tried before. Things that work, they'll continue. And things that don't work, they'll throw by the wayside and continue to move. And there's going to be some great changes, and there's going to be some big changes. And there's going to be a lot of things to make a lot of people happy and excited about our sport again.
I love it. Legendary ESPN hockey analyst Barry Melrose with us on the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline here, Prater in the ball game. What do you love about the ECHL? You know, what Boise folks have, and we got a nice arena. We got a team that the fans have supported for a long time. They've won a couple of Kelly Cups in recent memory, Barry. And I know you spent a lot of time in minor league hockey, you and your entire family, all hockey guys. Now, ECHL, what do you like about that in minor league hockey, Barry?
Well, it's part of the progress, and there's so many leagues now in the United States. Watch college. Well, not only that, watch college hockey. When they're saying where these kids are from, they're not all from Massachusetts now. They're not all from Michigan now. They're from Florida. They're from Texas. They're from California. They're from all these other states around the United States, and. St. Louis is producing players. Everybody now is producing players. Hmm. So you have to have a place for these guys to play, and the ECHL works on that. And these guys produce some players for college. ECHL has been great at that for years and years and years. And this is what you need. The minor system feeds the next system. The next system feeds the next system. And all of a sudden, you got players from all over Canada, all over the United States, all over Europe, all over China. Yeah, I said China. Okay. We're going to have hockey in China and Japan. There's no doubt about that. That's going to happen. But the minor hockey league system is there for a reason. A lot of guys jumpstart their careers, and we're seeing that more and more now with what's going on around the rest of the world.
Barry Melrose, what's the NHL storyline that if we have casual fans here in Boise, what's the storyline for casual fans to be following so far with this NHL season? Individual player, a team player, we already touched on Seattle. What's the headlines out there these days?
I think you'd be selling your stars. I think, and the star is McDavid. You know, Sidney Crosby's still a great player, but Sidney's not the best player in the NHL anymore. Crosby is. Draisaitl, they're on the same team. There's no bad teams in the NHL. Every other sport has, you know, a lot of bad teams that you know don't have a chance. Right now, the NHL, there's no bad teams. You're getting beat every night. Edmonton's got three or four of the best players in the world. They're not winning consistently. Obviously, right now, Carolina is the best team in the NHL. That's great to see Carolina with all that talent, and that's going to get the fans in the Caniacs fired up in Carolina. So I think that's what the NHL's got to sell, is this year is going to be spectacular. It's going to be it looks like it's going to be Olympics. The city, the countries are unbelievable. The competition is going to be so strong. But just every team out there has got some great stars. And these guys are bigger, faster, tougher, stronger. Goaltending is better than they've ever been before. So the product on the ice and the type of games that are being played right now, if you're a person that's wondering what's going on with the NHL, go and check it out. Go and spend a little bit of cash, check it out, and I think you'll realize really quickly that that's a good product.
We all know that Wayne Gretzky is the greatest hockey player of all time. Alex Ovechkin right now is doing the same exact thing. He's still having another monster season despite his age. I think he's 36. If he averages 40 goals a year for the next 4 years up until he turns 40, he's going to catch Wayne Gretzky as the all-time NHL goal scorer. Does it happen or not?
You know what? I'm going to say no, because I just can't believe that he's going to stay healthy for that much longer. The guy plays hard. He's physical. He just never takes a night off. He's getting bumped all the time. Everyone's focusing on him. Gretzky got really only hurt once with his back injury, where he missed like 30-some games. But, Alex has missed not only injuries, he's missed work stoppages. I think he's missed two work stoppages. So he'd have even more goals now. He'd probably have 50, 60 more goals now than if you're looking at it, if we didn't have work stoppages for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he catches Gretz. Probably my loyalty is a reason I'm saying why no to Alex passing Gretz. I may be a little biased on this. But, if he can stay healthy for four more years, yeah. He's probably going to catch grass.
All right, Barry Melrose, we only brought you on the show today for one reason and one reason only. Yes, we like to talk hockey. We like to talk to Kraken a little bit. And I'm sure you keep track of every minor league public address announcer in this country. But my partner right here, Johnny Ballgame, is making his debut tonight as the Idaho Steelheads ECHL Dallas Stars PA announcer, downtown arena, 5,000 fans, $2 beer night. Ugh. He's never done this before in his life, and he's making his debut tonight.
Dude.
I know you don't listen and pay attention to PA guys because you're a busy man. But what kind of advice do you have for my friend Johnny Ballgame?
Go out there, have fun, don't screw things up, and just, it's a blast. I've done both. It's a blast. It's easy. You're a radio guy. If you can be a radio guy, you can be a color guy or a play-by-play guy. So let the people see that you're having a good fun. Let the people see that you love what you're doing and you love the sport of hockey. That's what people want to see. They want to see people that care. And I know you're one of those guys. And go out there and show them, man. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for energy and passion.
My boy Ballgame here, he's going to be prepared. He's going to be good. He doesn't screw up much, but now all of a sudden you said don't screw up. What's a screw up in a hockey PA guy?
You know, the screw up is I'm a play-by-play guy or a color guy like I was, is you can't be talking when the puck goes in the net. The play-by-play guy has to be talking, not the color guy. That's John Saunders told me that when I first started doing this. He said, Barry, one rule, you're never talking when the goal's going in, okay? You can talk all you want before, you can talk all you want after, but you're never talking when the puck goes in the net, and that is the greatest advice anybody ever gave me, and I'm giving it to you. If you're a color guy, don't be talking when the puck goes in.
I love it. Barry, who's the greatest Canadian rock band of all time?
Greatest Canadian rock band? Cindy, who's the greatest Canadian rock band?
That is his wife.
Wife just said Anne Murray.
Ferry, we'll talk to you when we get closer to the playoffs. You're the best, man. Thanks, and I appreciate the advice. I'm going to kick some ass tonight just for you.
Attaboy. I like to hear it.
Thanks a lot. That's Ferry Melrose with us, Prater, and some pretty good advice, I guess.
Huh? Oh, yeah, it's great advice. Have fun, and don't screw up. If those are the rules, ball game. You're going to be a Hall of Famer by midnight.
Good point, man. Thanks, man. I love it. Hey, guys, it's not too late to apply Zamzow's Recharger. Recharger will slow feed your lawn during this winter, so when spring does hit, you're going to have a major advantage versus your neighbors in the lawn game. You got 13 locations nobody knows like Zamzow's. JP, are they staying or are they going? An update on three Boise State players and their potential career in the NFL, next on KTIK.com/radio.
Football is a way of life. That's why we talk about it daily. You want football? We've got it on Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio The Ticket.
Bob Beeler, Bronco Focus, coming up in just a matter of minutes. He's going to talk about some of the bigger Mountain West games this weekend. Of course, we've got still our voodoo doll, Logan, here. Who's taken a little bit more of a beating the last couple of days, guys.
He has.
Spent some nights in the men's bathroom here at Cumulus Radio.
Nice.
And let's just put it this way. His right arm, he won't be gripping the ball very well right now.
Well, an arm or a hand? You don't grip at a ball with your arm.
Well, you can see that there's no hand there anymore, Prater.
So his hand is ripped off?
Yes.
Okay. His arm's still there, but his hand is ripped off.
And his stuffing is starting to come out. It's looking better. It's looking better, although they Utah State plays Wyoming this weekend.
Where do we need to poke him? Where hasn't he been poked?
You know, not much on the backside of him. So
how about, like, right in the middle of the spine? Just right in the... Make him scream
give
loud.
Give him a good cowboy poke, right? Pun intended, you know? Oh. Poke. Oh, there you go, hurts. JP.
That was some extra.
And I got the sound effect.
Are we ever going to do anything with a voodoo doll again if this fails? If Logan fails us, are we out of the voodoo doll game?
Yeah, we're out of the voodoo doll business.
I would say we are.
Yeah. I would say that's a complete total failure. We need Utah State to lose a game. We need Air Force to lose a game. And we need Boise State to win its final two games. That's the ultimate goal here.
You can't go all in on a voodoo doll, and if it doesn't work, then go back to it. It's not the way it works, Johnny.
You're done.
Well, big news over at Boise State today is star wide receiver Khalil Shakir ended any speculation telling the media that Saturday would be his final home game on the blue, although he did come back and throw out a 1% chance, Prater, 99.9%.
It's 100%. I changed it. It's 100%. I took the executive orders and changed it to 100%.
J.L. Skinner, safety, was a little less committed. He thought of leaving. He said he wanted to make sure he got his degree. That was important to his mother. That's good. Running back George Helani, he said he hadn't given it a whole lot of thought. But Helani at one point said that former Boise State running back Alexander Madison, now with the Vikings, had talked with the running backs at Boise State and gave him some advice about what it takes to play at that next level.
He definitely talked to us as running backs, and he was talking to us about, you know, a lot of running backs are able to run the ball. It's just you got to be all around back. You got to be able to block. You got to be able to, you know, protect the quarterback and get out on routes.
Got to do more than just run the ball. Pick up some first downs, but you got
to
do it all.
That's part of building a program. I mean, you want to have players, current active NFL players, being able to come back and talk to that position players of their alma mater. And, you know, that's cool that this university, this program has that. And it's an advantage that a lot of schools don't.
Idaho Steelheads return to home ice tonight at Idaho Central Arena to begin a three-game series with the Adirondack Thunder. The Steelheads won two of their three, most recently in their swing through Rapid City. Tonight's game starting at 7:10 on 1350 KTIK, also on 95.3 FM. And if you missed it, we had Barry Melrose on, ESPN hockey guru. Gave Johnny some advice. Johnny, listen up again.
Go out there, have fun. Don't screw things up.
Don't screw things up, Johnny.
Yeah.
Have you got your pronunciation guide?
Yeah.
Have you already looked at it?
Uh-uh.
What?
Don't look at it for the first time on the fly, dude.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
It's too late for that.
You got to try. You got to practice.
I'll get there, and I'll definitely go over as soon as I get there and get situated.
You know what? We should next update. We should test Johnny.
You know
how he does.
I don't mean to put the pressure on you, dude, and I don't need to make you nervous, but Bob works on his pronunciation guide a week in advance.
Yeah, he does.
And I guarantee you there's no Russians on the New Mexico football team.
That we know of.
Yep.
Don't look at the pronunciation guide for the first time when you need it, dude. I promise you, you'll say Danny Smith instead.
Remember when you tried to pronounce Adirondack last week?
Can you even say that yet?
Adirondack. Luckily, am I going to have to say that tonight?
Well, probably. Yes. They're playing the Adirondack Thunder.
Yes, that's who they're playing. What, when they score, you going to call them the Anaheim Mighty Ducks?
Just
say it. Give me an Adirondack Thunder loud and proud.
The Adirondack Thunder!
There you go.
That's not bad. Nice. That's good. Okay.
Adirondack. Okay.
Keep saying that and then keep working on that pronunciation guide and ball game. Just go be yourself.
Adirondack!
Everybody, all your friends and family, including all your coworkers, are going to be there tonight.
Right? Oh, yes. Yes.
Every single one of them, ball game.
Yep.
Johnny,
excited.
I never leave the house, especially on a weekday.
And you're going
I'm
to
even
this?
Going to be there.
Oh, JP, holy I love crap, it. Man. Thank you.
Finally, College of Idaho and NNU, they renew their basketball rivalry tonight in the Mayor's Cup. Tonight's game in Caldwell at the J.A. Albertsons Activity Center. 208 times these teams have met dating back to 1933. And Yotes ranked number 18 in the NAIA basketball poll. Tip off at about 7 o'clock. No TV this year, though.
I believe it is the oldest sporting event in Idaho. I don't think it's even close. And they play twice, right?
Yep.
When's the rematch?
It's usually pretty soon. It's pretty soon after the first game. I'll look into that. But tonight is game numero uno.
Nice.
I love it. Good. That's a fun matchup, too. Coming up. How about a little Bob Beeler? How about a full Mountain West schedule this coming in Prater? A lot of people want to know these scenarios. Scenarios on the radio are difficult, but I think Bob's going to master this. So we got a special edition of Bronco Focus coming up with our man Bob Beeler. And do not forget another sweet deal. Friday, KTIK.com, 9 a.m. If you give us $25, you get $50 back in certificates to Costa Vida or Blaze Pizza. Friday morning, 9 a.m., KTIK.com.
Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. This is Bronco Focus with the voice of Boise State Athletics, Bob Beeler.
All right, we get down to the nitty-gritty of this Mountain West football season. Nobody better to talk to than our own Bob Beeler, play-by-play broadcaster, Boise State Athletics. Bob, welcome to the program, as always. And, dude, need a couple of these games to go a certain way, Bob, this week. And I'm going to start you off. 2 weeks left. What are the scenarios, Bob?
All right, I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version, not give you the whys, just give you the how it shakes out so that everybody understands. There are three teams that are alive in the Mountain Division, Boise State, Utah State, and Air Force. For Boise State to get the division championship, here's what's got to happen. Broncos have to win both games against New Mexico and San Diego State. If you don't win both, doesn't matter what happens in the other games. Utah State has two games left with Wyoming and then at New Mexico, and Air Force has two games left at Nevada Friday night and then home with UNLV. Both of those teams have to lose at least one of their remaining games. Doesn't matter which one, they would just have to lose one of the remaining games, and Boise State would have to win both.
That seems, I mean, I appreciate the Cliff Notes version of that. Man, that makes total sense. Boise State went out, and then Utah State and Air Force each lose a game. What about Nevada hosting Air Force? This is a Friday night game, big showcase for the league, and certainly Bronco Nation, who wants to, you know, root for Nevada, which I can't believe I'm saying, but that definitely is in play on Friday night, Bobby.
We're getting ready to broadcast the game at Fresno, and Pete gets this text from a friend of his that's a Wolfpack person. Go Broncos, because Boise State needed to knock Fresno State off to give Nevada a chance in their division. And Pete laughed because he said it was the only time that he thought that guy had ever said go Broncos for anything. Well, Pete's going to be returning the text on Friday night.
Yeah.
Go Wolfpack. And I don't know many Bronco fans that have rooted for Nevada over the years, but I'll go as far to say the division will be out the door if Nevada doesn't win the game, because I don't see New Mexico beating Air Force the next week. So I think that's the game of the season as far as watching other games. Nevada needs to beat Air Force, and this is going to be a heck of a game. Nevada comes in averaging 35 points a game. They've got the quarterback and Carson Strong. They will throw the football. I think it's going to come down to how well they can stop Air Force's option. And when both of these teams look back at their Mountain West season, if they don't make it to the championship game, much like many teams in the league, they're going to complain about the close losses. Nevada lost to both Fresno and San Diego by 2 points each. Air Force losses have been by 4 to Utah State, by 6 to San Diego State. And if you want to throw in a recent game overtime with Air Force that may have cost them Commander-in-Chief, they lost that one by 7 in overtime. I think the Friday night game between Nevada and Air Force is going to be a heck of a game. You're going to have the running of Air Force against the passing of Nevada. I think it's going to be entertaining, and I'll be the first here on the show to say, go Pack, go.
We're doing everything we can to get Boise State into the Mountain West Championship game. Talking Mountain West tiebreakers and the scenarios with Bob Buehler, the voice of Boise State Athletics. Bob, as you go on the air at 6 o'clock for your pregame show on Saturday night, Wyoming will be kicking off at Utah State. Before we dive deep into a question, I need you to tell me where JP should stick a pin into Logan or Voodoo Doll.
Oh, my. I think I'd have to say right arm, shoulder area.
Right. Oh, shoulder. We got the right arm, but we haven't got the shoulder. JP, did you hurt him?
I feel bad
did you
saying hurt
him?
It.
You're not rooting for any individuals to get hurt, Bob. We just need Utah State to lose a football game.
We want a couple
game.
Of interceptions was what I was thinking of. A
couple of interceptions would be good.
And we got one last week against San Jose State for a pick six. Spartans led 14-0 when I got back to my hotel in Irvine.
Bob, what do we think about
this? And then
it
was all Aggies the rest of the way. So maybe it was me walking in and watching that caused the bad karma. I don't know. But Wyoming and Utah State, lower scoring game, better for Wyoming. Higher scoring game is going to be better for Utah State. They average 33 a game. Wyoming only averages 22. Here's what they're playing for. Utah State knows if they win out, they win the division. They don't have to get to any tiebreaker. If Wyoming wins out, they're 7-5, and they're going to go to a bowl game. I think I would rate Nevada over Air Force a much better chance than Wyoming over Utah State, but I think it's possible. Wyoming's defense is going to have to come to play. They're going to have to force a couple of turnovers. I don't see Utah State losing the next week to New Mexico. Air Force has UNLV the last week, so two of the worst teams in the conference. I wouldn't hold out hope that they would lose. So I think both of them have to go by the way of the opponents this week. Nevada over Air Force, Wyoming over Utah State. Not nearly as confident in Wyoming, but they have a way of playing games close, and we'll see if they can do it again, kind of like they did the Boise State, but they're going to need a little more offense against Utah State. And I think Utah State's defense not quite as good, so maybe we can eke one out.
UNLV seems like it's playing better, but San Diego State, I don't see this being much of a matchup, but it matters. Tell me why this game matters, Bob.
Well, right now, San Diego State is in the driver's seat on the west side. And they know that if they beat UNLV and then beat Boise State, they not only are going to be into the championship, they're going to be hosting it, and they quite possibly could still have a chance at a New Year's Six if Cincinnati were to get beat between now and the end of the season, and especially if what happened in the championship game. So lots for San Diego State to play for. I would think it would be just a terrible loss for San Diego State, Prater, if they lost to UNLV. I don't see it happening. Their defense is too good. And it very possibly, if we can get the Air Force loss and the Utah State loss, and if San Diego wins as expected, the Boise State-San Diego State game the next week will basically be a semifinal to get into the championship, because the winner would and the loser wouldn't.
Bob, what do you think about shifting gears a little bit here? Basketball, Charleston Classic starts tomorrow. I know the Broncos, they have a day game against what, St. Bonaventure?
Yeah, we'll be starting at 11:30 over on 670 KBOI, tip-off at noon. St. Bonaventure ranked 22nd. They've got five starters back from a team, Johnny, that won the Atlantic 10, not only regular season and tournament. I'm not so sure this isn't the best team in the Charleston field.
I love it, Bob. Well, rest that voice. Have a great tournament calling those games. And you got senior night on the blue Saturday. So busy time of the year to be Bob Buehler. We appreciate you as always. That's Bronco
Thanks,
Focus.
Guys.
Thanks, Bob. Coming up, Idaho State Bengal football. Oh, Prater, where do we go with this one? How about a deep dive into that program? And gosh, do they Do they even deserve to still have a team? That's coming up. Prater on the Ball Game, KTIK.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
You heard right, Beefo Brady's. What's going on? Great place to watch those games in Prater. This hour, we're going to get after it a little bit. We're going to have our draft day segment. We love drafting, and we are drafting, Prater and myself, all the open FBS football jobs, and that's going to be coming up in about 15 minutes. Certainly do not miss that one. We want your calls and your text messages. Cloverdale Plumbing text line, Fat Guys Fresh Deli hotline, and Prater, let's get into this. We were talking about this, the Idaho State Bengal football program. We know they've been horrible for a long time now. Is it fixable? If so, how so? And everybody rips on us for, not everybody, but people rip on us for not talking enough Idaho State Bengal football on this show. What do you say about that? You're from that area as well.
Yeah, Idaho State football was the Idaho State was the first college football game I ever saw in my entire life.
Was it really?
Yeah. I was a scribe reporter at the Twin Falls Times News in 1981. They were on their way to a national championship victory. They won the national championship the year after Boise State did, and my editor sent me over there, and I kind of said, "What's college football?"
Yeah.
And I went over to the dome and thought, "Oh, this is kind of cool. It's a big stadium." Blah 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 blah. And
really,
and off and running as a college football fan. So I do have a little bit of soft spot for Idaho State. Dave Cragthorpe was the team back in those days, followed by Jim Cutter. And I got personal relationships. I got to know both of those men an awful lot in the era when Idaho State had it going on. So, yes, I was big into Idaho State football. And then all of a sudden, reality happened. And for the last 20, 30 years, this football program has been beyond less than relevant. There are times that I wonder whether it exists. There are times I wonder why they're spending money to play football over there. Very little success, very little results. And I can't put my finger on a ball game, and we don't want to sit here. This is not a segment about beating up Idaho State football. This is truly a segment of trying to fix Idaho State football. We're not going to go off, and they're going to compete for championships right away, but can we get a 6-5 record every now and then ball game?
The only consistency there has been that Idaho State Bengal football is consistently at the bottom of the Big Sky standings, and we're going on about 40-plus years of this, Prater. If you can think about that game you went to, first game Prater seen live, I think you said, in Holt Arena, Bengal football, that's like the last time they've been good. Idaho State hasn't been good in football since Mike Prater was a teenager, just trying to learn his way in the world, and he's still learning. I can attest to that right now. Prater, Idaho State did a little bit of research.
Okay, fire away.
In the last 11 years, I guess I can call that an era, a decade, 34 wins, 83 losses. I mean, 34 and 83. This program has not played in a playoff game since Jim Cutter was the coach, dude. They had a co-Big Sky championship I saw in 2002 with Larry Lewis, but they didn't end up going to the tournament that year. Must have meant that, you know, they were good enough to tie for the Big Sky title, but not good enough then. It was probably a 16-team tournament, and they didn't get the at-large spot. So the playoffs, I mean, that's a complete foreign substance to the folks at this university. And it's kind of a bummer because, you know, you think about it, and it's an FCS program not too far away from Boise. It's in this state. They do have a tad bit of tradition. They've won a national championship. You know, they've had decent famous players coming in and out of there, but it's just been a revolving door of coaches, what, athletic directors, Prater, coming in and out. I mean, can I just say money? They don't have the funds, the resources. They don't have the straight cash, Prater, to be able to compete in this thing.
I got some ideas, ball game, and money certainly is on that list. Yesterday we had a chance to talk to Idaho Vandals football coach Paul Petrino. The Vandals and the Bengals are playing in the Battle of the Domes this weekend. It's in Pocatello, 1 o'clock on Saturday, and then both teams will be done. We asked, you know, Petrino, who's by all accounts, his program has been struggling too. Not as bad for as many years as Idaho State, but they're kind of in the same boat right now. It's embarrassing that the state of Idaho cannot play better college football. And in a year when Boise State's average, it's really struggling. It affects my psyche and my confidence, which tells you something about me. And I get that. But when college football is not good or not relevant or not nationally big time in this state, it bothers me, ballgame, as a resident of the state and college football being my all-time favorite thing. Petrino, he didn't pull any punches. He said it all starts with one thing and one thing only.
You got to put money into it. You know, you got to look at the facilities at Montana State and some of the other places. And I think that's where it starts. And number two, you got to not play two big schools every single year. That makes it tough on both teams. So if I had to just start with two things for both schools, both of them, that would probably help both of them right away.
You know, sure, I guess that would help, but I don't buy that. I think there's a lot of programs that get in that situation where it's not money, it's not coaches, it's not players, it's not facilities, it's not geographic location. It's all of those things, right? It's every single one. I mean, I don't know if I just buy, like, hey, if you put a beautiful weight room in here, get those new locker rooms. Oh, you see the ones that turn into beds? Oh, yeah, they're great. Now we're going to win. This has been just a total disaster, a cluster for so long. What you need for me, and we've seen programs that have been in this type of disarray somehow, some way, dig themselves out. Usually for me, it seems like they just find the right damn coach. And he gets out there and he works tirelessly. He recruits players, OKG type of players that fit into their thing. They take whatever, it's a JUCO player, or they go to the transfer portal these days real hard, and you have like one or two seasons where, like you're saying, Prater, can we get a 6-5 somewhere? Like, can we be 6-5 once? And then you get that going, and then obviously the coach is going to leave, but at least he lays that foundation, and when that coach leaves, the next guy can take it over and hopefully keep it going. But for me, the first and foremost there is just to find a coach that's going to come in there and believe in it, work his tail off. Like, could you imagine, I'm just throwing this out there, like, anyway, I don't want to say any names, but just a coach with that type of personality, Prater. And I'm not going to say that all these guys didn't have that, but I mean, the, you know, Fennessey's there now. I like his personality. Kramer was kind of all over the place, but you can go on and on of the coaches that they've had here, and they all have the same story at the end of the day. They just can't win there.
Ballgame, you can take your personality and do whatever you want with it. For me, I think you're 100% on board about the coaching part of it, and to me, it all starts there. And I'm going to replace personality with another P word, and I'm going to talk about passion here for a second. And it's a chicken and the egg thing, because if your football program isn't good, it's hard to invoke a passion out of the community. The community needs to embrace Pocatello and Idaho State football a little bit more, but that's difficult when you're as bad as that football program is. I don't really dive into the finances of Idaho State. I spent an hour today looking for budgets, stuff that was credible, making a couple of phone calls. There's not a lot of information out there, but I do know that the business community is not passionate about Idaho State football. And I'm not beating them up, because I totally get it. I wouldn't want to be passionate about a football program that's very mediocre at best. I would settle for mediocrity. So business leaders, money, figuring out a way, some kind of a capital campaign to figure things out. It all starts with leadership. You talked about that at the beginning of the segment. I don't think Idaho State's ever, I shouldn't say ever, they're inconsistently have strong leadership in the athletic department. I don't see a lot of things getting done. And to me, it all comes back to one thing and one thing only, coaching. Ballgame, Idaho State's done a horrible, horrible, horrible job of hiring coaches. Fantasy, you're a nice, funny guy. Go away. Kramer, you're a nice, funny guy. You've already gone away. Zamberlin, you're better off coaching Meridian High School football to state semifinals. Nicely done, my friend. Larry Lewis, same deal. Tom Walsh before that,
yeah,
same deal. Ballgame, guess where each one of these school or guy coaches are from? Fantasy came from Memphis.
Okay.
I'm talking about where they played football. And then they went off to just mediocrity minor league coaching careers. Kramer went to Idaho. That's not what you want from Idaho State. Zamberlin went to Pacific Lutheran. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Larry Lewis went to Boise State, and Idaho State went and hired him. And Tom Walsh came from the freaking Raiders, of all things. Why do you not think that this is going to work out? These are just people searching for jobs, recruiting all kinds of crazy things into Pocatello. They've had all kinds of problems with student-athletes coming in there and trying to acclimate themselves into that community and do a good job and be productive members of that football team. And when you got coaches that have no emotional connection, here's a thought for you, ballgame. How about hiring an Idaho State Bengal as your football coach? And I know the list isn't very long.
I got a name.
Even Dietrich Smith. I don't even know if you want to coach. Merrill Hodge, you don't want to coach. Jared Allen, you'd be a terrible coach. Jeff Charleston, these are all former players that are high-profile players out there that don't make it. So I know the family tree is really, really bad, but I need a coach who played at Idaho State, who brings the passion, who has an emotional investment, who the community can get behind, spend the money, get some tickets, get 8,000 people in there, and start winning some damn football games.
The best possible hire, and I don't know how they can pull this off. I just don't think they could, but Marvin Lewis, he played at Idaho State. He has roots there. He still gives them money. Marvin Lewis is a...
Well, why would you even bring that name up? He's coaching in the Pac-12.
Is he back with Herm on a consultant basis type of thing? I don't think he's an official guy, but yeah, if he wants to be a coach, a head coach, and maybe he wants to finish his career building up a program that hasn't been good for 40 years. If anybody, yeah, I'd like to take some calls on this, but we are kind of running out of time during the Beef O'Brady's College Football Hour, because I know there's Bengal fans, a few, that are listening right now saying, yeah, this and that and all this stuff, yeah, it'd be great. I mean, could you imagine if Idaho State had a highly competitive football program that we could tie into that Big Sky stuff with Idaho? And obviously, if it's not going to be constant Boise State here, I mean, it would be fun if Idaho State was at least respectable. I mean, I was a fan just listening to you go off a couple of minutes there on the coaches and all this. I mean, it's actually entertaining me right now, Prater.
I like Marvin Lewis. I just don't know if he would do it. If they could do it, I would do it in a second.
Of course.
And I would find somebody that's going to give him $1 million a year. And I think the Idaho State football coach probably makes 185 to 225. And his staff's, you know, his assistants barely, I mean, it's ridiculous the kind of money that's going on over there. Somebody raise some money. Somebody get Marvin Lewis on the phone.
Yes.
How about a little Dirk Cutter? Now, knowing Dirk as I do, actually, I'm not even going to go there. I maybe Dirk would want to go there. Dirk has more emotional connections to that university because of where he grew up, who his dad was, and what Idaho State represented when he was going to school there and living in Pocatello, Idaho. It changed his world. And they won national championships, and they did a good job, and there was passion and buzz in that community. Maybe he's got that soft spot emotional connection where he says, I'll do it. And I think him and Marvin Lewis are pretty damn close friends. What if they both got together and do it and said, let's give it a 3 to 5 year shot?
Now I don't even know why the hell you're saying this. Like, that is the biggest ball game, like, hyperbolic pipe dream he's ever spit into his microphone there, JP. I mean, I'm loving it. It's the coolest fairy tale of all time. Like, forget Marvin. Forget Dirk. Let's get both of them. Yeah! Let's get them both here. Idaho State Bengals. Marvin, you take the D. Dirk, you get the offense. Let's get this thing going. Like, that'd be the coolest thing ever, but I mean, and I do know, I have heard, actually, I have heard that they are friends.
Yes.
Dirk Cutter and Marvin Lewis are very good friends, and they are the most, other than Jared Allen, I guess, in the Hodge family, I mean, they are Idaho State Bengal football. Can Davis Cutter come along and be a wide receiver coach and then be the OC in a year or two later? I mean, is that part of it for Dirk? You want to get Davis into coaching? Anybody else you want to get into coaching? You pick the staff? I mean,
Davis wants to coach. Davis has a chance to come back next year to play for Boise State. I don't know if he will. Maybe he just wants to go off and be a coach. I think Dirk and Davis are close enough that they would love to coach together. Now, Dirk could probably help Davis get a job anywhere he wants, and Davis could probably get his own damn job anywhere he wants. But I like the idea of a local business coming together and putting together like a $5 million 3-year package for co-head coaches, Marvin Lewis defense, Dirk Cutter offense, and let's put Davis Cutter in charge. Let's get him a job. Let's build himself a career.
Yep.
Ball game. You are 1,000% not wrong, and I'm 1,000% not embarrassed. It's the worst idea I've ever had, and I want to make it happen.
Dirk Cutter and Marvin, all of a sudden Idaho State has two guys running the program that a couple of years ago each had their own NFL team, and now they're in Pocatello doing this family reunion. I love it. Yeah,
you know, Dirk Cutter is the story we had told here. Dirk Cutter's very first ever job, making $7,500 a year and sleeping on a cot in a San Francisco City dorm with Andy Reid. Their first ever coaching jobs together. They pure, lovable men who dig football. That's what Idaho State needs, and Andy Reid's not available right now.
The San Francisco Gators, man. Hey, are there even Gators in San Francisco? Because they Dirk Cutter and Andy Reid were at the San Francisco State Gators. I didn't know that there were alligators in the Pacific Ocean in San Francisco. Anyway, let me know on that. Ryan, thanks for holding. Brian, thanks for holding on the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. Go for it, Brian. What you got?
Hey, Johnny Meatball and the Prater. Name you don't have on your list is Nick Whitworth, the Mackey Missile.
Never heard of him.
Nick Whitworth.
Who is that?
He's coaching somewhere now, possibly in the Pac-12. But
I don't know.
He's one of the local greatest products to ever come through Idaho State.
And it's not quite carrying the punch of a name as a Marvin Lewis or a Dirk Cutter, but I'm sure he's a hell of a guy. Thanks for the call.
If he's an Idaho State guy, I'll put him on the list. I've never heard of him. He played at Idaho State, graduated in 2001, so that was 20 years ago. And he's now the special teams coordinator at Texas State after 20 years. It's probably not going to fit my profile, but I don't want to eliminate anybody at this point. I'm holding out for Cutter and Marvin Lewis.
On a co thing, yeah. And we just need to start raising the money. Let us know if you're going to write that check. Text us to Cloverdale Plumbing, text line 208-424-9300. What's the best FBS job available? USC, LSU, to name a couple. Well, Prater and myself, we're going to draft them, okay? We're going to win a draft during the Beef O'Brady's College Football Hour. This is going to be a fun one. Stick around. Prater in the ballgame.
Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the ballgame. As someone famously said, they ain't come here to play school. Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket.
There you go. Bring it with some college football music, JP. Our Beef O'Brady's College Football Hour. Good food and good sports at the corner of Eagle Road and Overland and Meridian. Go check out the massive video wall. They got an amazing menu. And how about this, JP? 32 ice cold beers on tap.
Woo-hoo.
Beef O'Brady's, let's get after it. Draft day. There are currently 9 FBS head football coaching gigs available. Some big, some small. Prater, I hope you're ready. I hope you've had your combine, your selection process, because we are going to draft the best gigs available. Are you ready, my friend?
I am more than ready. I'm looking for another job ball game. I'm very jealous. You got another job tonight as the Steelheads PA guy. I'm looking for a second gig. Let's make it happen, ballgame. I need to make some cash.
Commissioner JPZ, the floor is yours.
All right. I believe that Mike Prater had the first selection in the last draft. That means Johnny Ballgame, you get to call it in the air, the coin toss.
Tails.
It is tails. Johnny Ballgame with the first selection in the best open FBS head coaching job. You select...
Well, for me, this is between two teams. I'm going with the USC Trojans, University of Southern California. A couple of reasons. First off, it's going to pay me very well. It's a private school. I like that situation. I like the location. It's in Los Angeles. Not a great area, but I won't be living there. I'm going to live in a cool place. I can helicopter it to work every now and again if I need to. And this is what I love about it. I like the recruiting that in my backyard, I not only can supply myself without having to live everywhere, go everywhere, but I supply the rest of the league and a couple of other leagues too. I'm going to close the fence. I'm going to lock this down. I'm going to get players staying home, putting them into the NFL. I'm saying fight on in a conference that once I get this going, I will dominate. Prater, first overall pick, give me the USC Trojans.
Does it matter that the AD is a former Idaho Vandal AD, Johnny Ballgame?
No, I'd take the gig if it was a former Idaho State AD.
All right, Mike Prater with the number 2 pick in the best open FBS coaching job. You select...
Well, I'm a little bit embarrassed for my man Ballgame here. We just had a discussion about Idaho State football and came to the conclusion that the one thing missing was the one coach that could bring passion to Idaho State as a former alum. I know Johnny Ballgame's not a former alum of the University of Washington, but when he was born at 1 year old, 1 month old, 1 day old, he was told he had to be a dog. He was told he had to be a Husky, and he grew up to be a big Husky fan, and just all of a sudden... You're going to turn your back on the Dogs and go to USC ball game? Where's the passion? Where's the loyalty? Where's the love?
It's a better gig. SC is a better gig than Washington. Now, maybe you'll pick them here. If you do, then if you don't, maybe I'll pick the Dogs. We'll see.
I'm changing my strategy right now. There is no way in hell you're going to get both USC and the University of Washington. This is a Prater on the fly move. I am absolutely 100% taking the University of Washington, which I think is the better coaching job than USC. I have the passion and the fandom for USC, but Washington is by far the better job. Better community, better less pressure, more support, if you ask me. Better spotlight on that program in terms of what happens at L.A. You got Coach Pete as a mentor. He's not going to leave that campus for a long time. And that's a valuable, valuable, valuable asset. I think the University of Washington can own the Pacific Northwest, and that's a recruiting minefield. Lots and lots, and I mean that in a good way, lots and lots of great athletes in the Pacific Northwest. You can make that happen. Ball game, I'm switching gears. Give me the Dogs. Give me something purple. I love the University of Washington.
Two Pac-12 jobs off the board now. We have, does anybody want to play Nick Saban? Does anybody want to live in Massachusetts? Johnny, with the third pick in the best open FBS coaching job you select.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer for me. This is Louisiana State University, LSU. They check every box for me. The only thing that would worry me is the pressure. I can win a national title, okay? And 17 months later, lose my job. We just saw that with Ed Orgeron. They didn't even give him a full 2 years after winning a natty and having the greatest team in the history of their program. That scares me, but hey, they got high expectations. Hey, my girlfriend has high expectations. She is a hot one, and I know if I don't take care of my honeydews, she's going to date somebody else. Okay, fine. Same type of thing at LSU. I got to win. I got to win. I got to beat Saban. I got to beat all the other tough teams in the SEC West, but I'm going to have the tools. I mean, you want to come on a recruiting trip to LSU, son? You want to see what we have going right now? Oh, yeah, your locker there, your locker room, yeah? The seat turns into a bed. You can sleep there. LSU, easy peasy.
Johnny, they did let him finish out the season. So Mike Prater, number four in the best FBS head coaching job. You select.
I will make this easy. And I did like LSU. I do love it would be a dream of mine to coach, play, be a fan, whatever, in the SEC. But I'll make this one simple. TCU, for two reasons. Texas and Oklahoma are gone. Somebody's going to dominate the Big 12 conference moving forward. And TCU paid its last coach $6 million. Give me the Frogs.
That was an easy one. Johnny, with the fifth pick, you select.
I've never been to Blacksburg, but I hear it's lovely in November. Go Hokies. I'm taking Virginia Tech. I can win in the ACC. I can certainly win in that division. I saw a guy named Frank Beamer get this done for 30 years. Easy peasy, JP. Give me Virginia Tech.
All right. There's only one Power 5 opening left, three group of five. Mike Prater, you're up next on the clock, number six.
Oh, I'm a coach, and it's all about family because that's all coaches care about. That's what they say in public, right? Yeah. It's just about the family.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to take the Pullman Washington State job just so I can drive back to Boise and visit my family. I'm the new coach at Washington State, and my priorities are all about family. Ball game. Give me the Cougs.
Not to mention it's a short drive to the Corner Club, Prater, right?
They'd love him.
I love the Corner Club.
They'd love Prater and Pullman. They really would.
They already do ball game. You just don't know it yet.
There's a booth in the back named after Mike Prater, is there not? No, maybe not. All right, we're down to the group of five left, Johnny, with the seventh and your final pick. You select.
You know what? I'm going to go Akron. LeBron James is from there. It's in Ohio. I know I have recruits. It's in the stinking MAC. There's no big, bad dragon type of program that's going to breathe fire all over everybody else, like, say, Gonzaga basketball, WCC. I can win in the MAC. I can win at Akron. All the other schools are in Ohio, too. I don't like it. Maybe LeBron can write a check. I probably should have taken where Prater's going to take based on location next, but give me Akron. I'll take the Zips. Zippy, I'm a kangaroo. Prater, look at me.
All right, Prater, final pick. Are you going warm or are you going cold weather?
Yeah, that's a no-brainer for me. With all due respect to Bob Beeler and his UMass Minutemen, I'm going to absolutely go with the Florida International Panthers or whatever the hell they are. It worked for Mario Cristobal. It didn't quite work for Butch Davis. It's right in the heart of Miami. It's perfect for me. I need to be in Miami. I need to be in South Beach. Ball game, let me tell you about the weekend I spent in South Beach one time. I want to go back so bad.
You did spend a weekend there?
I think. I can't remember the details. But, yes, I did ball game. It's a beautiful, beautiful. And I know Florida International is not in South Beach. It's actually in Miami City proper. Close enough for me. Recruiting hotbed. Hot babes. Beautiful recruits. Beautiful campus. Everything about it. And Mario Cristobal and Butch Davis, they got good jobs. Butch Davis got fired, I get that. But I think it's a sleeping giant. You want to be a kangaroo, I want to be a panther.
Prater spent a week in Florida one night, actually, is the way that story goes.
Kind of true, actually. It was bad, bad.
That is the nice allure of the FIU gig. At least you get to live in Miami, Prater.
All right, here's how it panned out. Ball game, USC, LSU, Virginia Tech, Akron. Prater went with the Huskies, TCU, the Cougs, and FIU. Nice.
All right. Another draft in the books.
You may have beat me on this one, ball game.
Thank you. I still go back to my deviled eggs, first overall pick in the appetizer.
Oh, that was the worst thing you've ever said on the show.
You thought that was a bad pick.
Horrible pick.
Deviled eggs, first overall in the app draft. I love it.
Horrible pick. And then you came to my party a week later. I bought you deviled eggs, and you didn't even eat them.
That's impossible. Dude, stop right there. I had more than anybody.
Yeah, you had like two.
Prater, that's impossible. I've never been around deviled eggs that only had two. Prater, like, no, I love deviled eggs. I was just doing a good job of probably hiding the consumption because I didn't want you to go on the radio and say, ballgame, you ate all my eggs.
Fair enough, fair
enough. I believe he put them in a shot glass, Prater. And,
probably still sitting there.
I want deviled eggs. Ugh, hungry. All right, guys. Hey, Sports Radio The Ticket. Segments like that you love, they will be on the move in 2022. Same great shows, same everything. Only a little to the right on the radio dial. Get me? January 3rd, that's the date. Sports Radio The Ticket will move to 95.3 on your dial, and you can listen. All your streaming devices obviously won't change at all. Sports Radio The Ticket moving 95.3 on the FM dial on January 3rd. JP News, let's talk some hoops. Charlton Classic, the big tournament Boise State's in an opponent. St. Bonaventure, maybe you've never heard of them, but they are really good. KTIK.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ball Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio The Ticket.
Rock, jocks, and pop culture on the way. Another chance to win $50 at Blaze Pizza. That is one of our sweet deals coming up Friday morning at KTIK.com. But first, the Boise State men's basketball team opens play in the Charleston Classic tomorrow morning. They will face 22nd-ranked St. Bonaventure, the Bonnies, 2-0. Boise State 1-1, coming off a loss to UC Irvine, where they shot very poorly. Coach Leon Rice says a lot of shooting poorly or shooting better comes down to better shot selection.
The number one key to being a good shooting team is shot selection. Now, with shot selection also means the right guys shooting the right shots for them. And we know what they are. Those guys are, you know, they have to have a better grasp on what the really, really good shots for them are. And we do, you know, if the right guys take the right shots, we're going to be a great shooting team. And I think that's what we have to get to.
Other teams in this tournament, Clemson, Elon, Marquette, Ole Miss, West Virginia, and Texas Tech. And that game can be heard with Bob Beeler, who's prepping right now, tomorrow morning on 670 KBOY.
And win or lose, they turn around on Friday and play either Clemson or Temple. Is that correct? Like an early afternoon game?
If they lose, we're talking like 10 a.m. 10 a.m. game, mountain time. So noon Eastern time. I would assume that if they could pull off a big upset over 22nd-ranked St. Bonnie's, that's a huge win for them.
How about this, though? And I know there's not a big sample size. I get it, guys. But right now, if you look at Boise State's numbers, You know, they're 356th in the country at three-point shooting as a team. Mm-hmm. They're shooting 16% collectively. But their opponents, okay, are shooting 45% collectively, which is 350th in the country for Boise State defensively. So not only at this point in the season are they not making threes, but they're not defending the three either. So they got to fix that, Prater, if this is going to be the type of season that I think they were going to have, and I predicted before this season that they finished number two in the Mountain West. They got to figure out this shooting deal, bro. What, JP?
They played one game, Johnny.
Thought they played two. You forgot the Irvine game.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Two, man.
Two games. Well, they can only get better. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
Staples Center in Los Angeles changing their name starting on Christmas Day. Goodbye, Staples Center. Hello, Crypto.com, who will pay more than $700 million over the course of 20 years. The arena, home of the Lakers, Kings, WNBA's LA Sparks, and for a while longer, I think a couple years anyways, the LA Clippers. Crypto.com.
Wow. Is that the biggest ever title sponsorship?
I think it is. I think that is. $700, that's $35 million a year.
What did AT&T give Jerry Jones? I know everybody refers to it as Jerry's World, but it's actually AT&T Stadium. That would be the only other Prater thing I could think of. Until the New York Yankees are willing to say, oh, we're not called Yankee Stadium anymore, right? Or something.com park. Sure. But man.
I think I'll keep calling it Staples. I like Staples.
Well, because we know what Staples is. We've heard
of
Staples.
Does it exist?
Staples, yeah.
Yeah, Staples still around. Yeah. I mean, of course it has to be. But yeah.
But crypto, I don't know what crypto money. I don't understand it. I looked it up. I tried to read up on it once. I'm like, I'm confused.
I get it. Like, let's take as much money as we can get for these stadium deals, Prater. But at some point, it would be nice to say, hey, we want the best of both. A, we want our money, but B, it's got to roll off the tongue, dude.
Does it really? Does it matter?
It does for me.
It doesn't matter for most people. Dunkin' Donuts Arena, Taco Bell Arena, come on. We've crossed that line a long time ago.
I thought Taco Bell Arena rolled off the tongue well. Let's go to the big chalupa, man. It's Taco Bell Arena night, man. Like, I just put crypto.com arena. Like, we're going to go to the crypt. Oh, crypto. I mean, I don't know. To me, that's hard to say. I don't know how to say it.
Crypto, says the professional PA announcer. Crypto.
Oh, that's right. We were going to test you as well. Johnny, you guys, can you just go ahead and pull up the Steelheads roster over there for one moment? I want you to announce the...
I'd rather him announce the Adirondack roster that he hasn't even looked at yet.
Ooh, Johnny.
A little disappointed. You're legendary for your homework and your prep. So I was a little disappointed in your answer on that one ballgame.
Well, I'm just going to go down there and wing it on my opening night.
No, guys, I...
By the way,
there's not a lot of names that you really have to announce, to be honest.
Every goal, you know, and every assist.
There's the one guy who has the Russian name, and it's something Chuck, and it doesn't look as hard. It's not as hard as it looks from what I've heard Colin Shuck announce it. But can you go ahead and just give it a shot, Johnny?
I don't know that. I mean, I'm looking at the roster, but I don't know which player you're talking about. Is it Michael Prevefis?
No.
And I messed that up.
By the way, if you want to catch Johnny in action tonight, Idaho Central Arena downtown, he will be the Wednesday night PA announcer for your Idaho Steelheads.
I cannot wait for him to announce the Adirondack Thunder goalie. Hang on a second. Give me a second. I'm counting letters in his name. Hang on a second.
How many X's?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 letters in his last name.
Are you stinking serious?
That's the goalie.
That's going to be one of those names off the back of their sweater that extends into the sleeves, man, that you rarely see in sports. The goalie for Adirondack has 19 letters in his name.
Yes, sir. And the backup? Mittens.
Mittens. how do you say the goalie's name real quick? By the way, yeah, you guys can call in right now for Rock Chalk. What's the name of this guy?
Alex Sakalakalapalopoulos.
I'm going to say Alex Sakalakalapalos. I'm not doing play-by-play, but with the stop. Hey, guys, who wants to play Rock Jocks and Pop Culture? Call 208-424-9300. Call right now, and you have a chance to win $50 from Blaze Pizza on KTIK The Ticket.
From the DataTel studio in downtown Boise, it's time to play Rock Jocks and Pop Culture. In Major League Baseball, going 1 out of 3 for a career will get you into the Hall of Fame. Here, you got to do better than that. Now, here's Johnny on Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket.
Brought to you by Advanced Heating and Cooling. Let's get into this, and don't forget Khalil Shakir, J.L. Skinner, both talking about their NFL future. Maybe a little George Helani, too, in 10 minutes. Don't miss us tonight at 5 o'clock. Prater in the ball game. Our guest today, JP, Chris from... Where are you from, Chris?
Cuna.
Chris from Cuna. We're huge in Cuna. All right, Chris, let's see what you got today. $50 Blaze Pizza.
You
got,
baby,
two lifelines. Here's The Rock. Chris, who wrote and performed the theme song for the TV series The Dukes of Hazzard? Being a Cuna boy, you should know this.
Man, way before my time. I got to use a lifeline.
Okay. You got a lifeline up?
Let's go JP.
JP, this is easy for you, right?
We're just good old boys. Would be Waylon Jennings.
I'll take it, Waylon Jennings.
It is my understanding that we're supposed to play ball.
All right, I got you to use a lifeline. I knew Prater and JP would nail that, but...
I actually knew that one ballgame.
I knew you would know that.
I didn't feel confident about it but until JP gave that little quick little sing-along there, but...
Chris, are you under 30?
Just 30. 31.
Okay, cool. Yeah, all right. Here we go. Question 2, sports. Jocks. Chris, Boise State has played 2 overtime games versus Power 5 opponents. Name the opponents.
Oklahoma. Are you saying this year or just in general?
Ever. Yep. They've played 2 overtime games versus Power 5 opponents. I need you to name the opponents, and you've got 1 correct, of course.
Yeah, Oklahoma.
Who is the other overtime game Boise State played in versus a Power 5 opponent, Chris?
I believe it was Washington.
I don't know, Chris. You're going to have to find out.
I'll go with that. That's my guess.
Bad breaks and crooked refs.
Incorrect on the second one.
I think he probably needed to put a state at the end of that.
Yeah, that was my next guess.
Washington State.
It was the Cougars in 2017. That was Brett Rypien. Yep. Classic 3 overtime thriller. And then, of course, Oklahoma in 2006 season. The game was actually in 2007, but it's counted as 2006.
Was that the game that Rypien got knocked out of the game? 2017? Does that sound right?
17. That sounds, that feels like the game that was in
Montel Cozart was
in Pullman?
Yeah. And Montel came in?
When the Cougs had that huge comeback, Boise State was killing them.
Look that up.
I remember.
I want to say that happened.
Yeah, okay. It was overtime in Pullman. Tyler Helinski. Was there two couple of backup quarterbacks. Okay, let me move on. You're 1 for 2, Chris, which puts yourself in a pretty decent position. You have a Mike Prater lifeline. That you can still use, obviously, and you need to get this question correct to get the $50 to Blaze Pizza. You been there before?
I have.
Okay, so you know what it's about. Let's get you back there.
Oh, absolutely. Good stuff.
Let's get you back there, Chrissy. Okay, which former Boston Red Sox All-Star married Tom Brady's sister, Julie? Tom Brady's brother-in-law is actually a former All-Star for the Boston Red Sox.
You have any clue, Prater?
Prater.
No clue. The first name that came to mind for me was Dustin Pedroia. But that was just a...
I was either going to go Pedroia or Nomar Garcia Parra, maybe. I don't know.
Hmm, I can see that. I can see that. It's got to be a pretty boy if you're going to hang with Tom Brady, right?
That's exactly where I was going. So let's go
Nomar Garcia Parra. Bad breaks and crooked
refs. Not going to happen today. 1 for 3.
Can I take a shot at that?
Absolutely.
Johnny Damon?
Incorrect. No. Tom Brady's brother-in-law is Kevin Youkilis. Kevin Youkilis.
Oh, the baldy guy. All right.
A former 3-time All-Star with the Boston Red Sox. Kevin Youkilis, and I believe they're still married, married Julie Brady, Tom's sister, who is 3 years older than him. They married probably 10, 12 years ago, and they keep things quiet, but yeah, Kevin Youkilis, way to marry into a family as if you didn't need to anyway, but now you can call Tom Brady your actual lawful brother. Be awesome. Prater, do you have a sister? Can we be brothers?
No.
How could we become brothers? Like...
We are brothers.
How could we swing that legally?
We are brothers.
I don't know. All right. Hey, thank you, Advanced Heating and Cooling. You're not going to beat this deal if you're in the market, guys. $500 instant cash rebate on all full systems. $250 instant cash rebate on all furnace purchases. I'm talking holiday bills. Yours will shrink with Advanced Heating and Cooling. Prater, tell our listeners about what we're doing for the next half hour.
Khalil Shakir, George Helani, J.L. Skinner. We will debate their NFL futures. Are they staying? Are they coming? You may have heard the news today. If you haven't, we got you covered.
Man, you got to hear what J.L. Skinner is going to talk about, too. This is the best Skinner has ever been with the media. Next, KTIK.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. If you missed Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the ballgame, you missed this.
If I'm ever on the wall of shame 3 times, Prater, neuter me. I don't want to reproduce. I don't want to have. I don't want to have a child who could end up being a 3-time wall of shamer. I'm giving you permission on that right now, Prater.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do that. I'd rather stick to be your therapist.
Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the ballgame, weekdays at 3 on Sports Radio The Ticket.
What's going on, and welcome to what we hope is your favorite sports talk radio program, Prater and the Ball Game. Right here, we are Idaho Sports Talk, taking your calls on the Fat Guys Fresh Deadly Hotline. That's 208-424-9300. Same number to shoot us a text. Thank you, Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Well, you know, we promised people the goods this half hour, Prater, and we have the ammunition to make that happen, in my opinion. It starts with Khalil Shakir making an announcement today that didn't shock anybody, obviously, but it was nice to finally get that. A lot of people in that position, they just keep putting it off, Praters.
We talked about it in our production meeting this morning, knowing that we had interview possibilities, interview counters today with Shakir, Helani, and Skinner, all 3 guys who could have choices making after Boise State's final home game on Sunday or on Saturday, whether they could return to this football team or go off and pursue professional football. We had a pretty good idea of what all 3 guys would say, but you never know how it's going to shake out, and it rarely ever shakes out the way it shook out today. The first question to Khalil Shakir, and he answered it, and we'll hear from him here in a second as we try to set this up. But Khalil Shakir is very confident that he is going to be playing his last football game on the blue on Saturday. He's got a lot of reasons why. He was well explained about it. I know Andy Avalos doesn't really want to deal with this. He's got a thousand questions to answer about this roster as players are coming and going, and COVID players and super seniors and so many things going on. I think he's told everybody, and Andrew Van Buren mentioned it yesterday and then kind of backed off. He's told everybody, focus, focus, focus. We'll deal with the future as soon as we can. That doesn't mean some conversations aren't going on behind the scenes. Some of these players aren't talking to family and friends and associates about their future, and Khalil Shakir clearly has.
Gosh, and let's get that clip. Khalil Shakir today to the Boise media. Here's something that sounds cool. I get it. You probably already knew this was going to happen, but here it is happening.
really trying not to think about it. It was brought up at the beginning of the week, talking to the team and the coaches talking to them and the message, they're pushing as far as, how do you want your brothers to leave this field, And it kind of hits deep, especially when people start talking about it. And I knew as the weeks went on, I was getting closer and closer and closer. And I was just didn't really know how to feel about it, And I'm still not sure how I feel about it. I know it's going to be a sad night, but a happy night as well. I'm happy to have my family coming in town and enjoying that moment with me as well. And I don't know, maybe the emotions will fly. I'm not 100% sure yet.
We didn't play you that initial soundbite because it was just really quick. He was asked, will Saturday be your last game on the blue? And he said, yes, comma, yes. He said it twice, yes, comma, yes. Now, later on, he talked about 99%. I think he even dropped to 99.9% in there one time. He's gone. He's absolutely 100% gone. He explained it. Basically, let me put it in his words. This is what he said, the reason why he's making this decision.
Yeah, I've done everything I can and within my control to go ahead and go out there and just do what I can, do what I do. Like I said, I wouldn't even say going is 100%, 99.99%. But there always is that possibility, who knows what could happen. But definitely just excited for the opportunity to finish strong with my guys.
They're just confident all the way around. Fans are confident in Khalil Shakir. The coaches are confident in Khalil Shakir. His opponents scarcely are confident in Khalil Shakir. And now it's going to be fun. College football, I always kind of relate like when a fan base, like a town like Boise, you don't have a pro team. The college team is your pro team. And when these guys leave your team to go pursue a career in the professional ranks, it's almost like Prater, when your kids grow up and they leave for college, and they're out of the house and you're rooting for them now. They're not under your care anymore, but you hope they do well. I think that's kind of how this fan base treats some of these guys who go off and pursue pro careers. And Khalil Shakir was talking about that.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I think that's really cool. And I can't wait to watch him on Saturday. I hope they dial up one of these magical games for him. We talked about it yesterday. He's only had one touchdown in the last five games. He's only had one 100-yard game in his last six games. So I need to see Shakir. I need three things on Saturday. I need the ESPN Monster Highlight Catch, because those are beautiful. And he's been providing those about every third game. Early on in the season, he had a couple of big ones. I need to see that just for my own selfish reasons. I also like to see a 100-yard game. I'd like to see at least one touchdown. I need to see a Khalil Shakir go off with what I think he deserves. He's not only one of the best football players to ever play at Boise State. We think he's one of the top three wide receivers to ever play at Boise State. Ball game, and I know you know this. He's a world-class human being. Unbelievable kid. You don't have any kids. I'd trade my kids for him. Sorry, kids. I don't mean that. But he's that kind of guy. He really is. He's that dude, man. He's everybody. What's the classic line? I want him to grow up to be my son, or I want him to date my daughter. That's him. He's got a girlfriend, so that's a little troublesome, but that's the kind of guy that deserves to have a monster game on Saturday.
Yeah, guys think he's cool. Girls think he's cute.
He is cool.
Funny. He is. And you can tell, yeah, there's certain guys that you interview in this business we're in, Prater, and Khalil Shakir is absolutely one of them. We're like, okay, this guy just gets it. Prater, what did he go on to say? We talked about emotions. He talked about possibly crying. Talked about a number of stuff here.
Yeah, I think it was actually one of my questions. We talked about him in terms of making this decision. This is a tough decision for these kids. Don't forget, we're all adults, and we struggle to make major decisions in our life every single day. This is a 19, 20-year-old guy, probably a little bit older than that now, who was trying to figure out what he needs to do. And you have to have your posse. You have to have your friends and your family. We asked Khalil Shakir, who's his go-to people in terms of getting this device?
My go-to person right now that I've been kind of, chopping up with, not too much, but it's been mostly with my dad and my older brother. My older brother, more from a standpoint of just comforting me and making sure that I, even though that is a possibility, I'm staying on track right now. But also my dad has been the one that's kind of took the lead on it all, mostly because I told him in the beginning of the season that I didn't want to have to deal with all that by myself, and I didn't want to, put any extra stress onto me. So anybody who was coming to me, I was just sending them straight to him. So I was putting a lot of stress on him. But he said that's fine with him, because as long as it allows me to go out there and play free and not have to think about things, then it's okay. So he's been the main person.
He's lucky he has a family he does. Dad is there. Dad cares. I've always said this with sports psychology. When dad is around and dad cares and dad is invested, it's a lot easier for some of these kids coming from whatever, wherever background, whatever socioeconomic class they're coming from. It's a lot. It's an easier path for them when dad is there and he cares. Khalil's got a brother playing at Portland State. He's got another brother coaching soccer. It's a sports family, and he has a really nice support system. Mike Prater.
And the family dynamic on Saturday is going to be spectacular, as you heard today as well. His older brother, the one who's a Khalil Shakir grew up playing soccer. He had no interest in playing football until he was in the 7th or 8th grade, he said. He grew up playing soccer because he had an older brother who I think he said he's 24 or 25 right now. So he's a little bit older, 3 or 4 years older than Khalil, who's now a soccer coach on the East Coast. He's never seen Khalil play football live. He's coming into town for the game on Saturday, and that's a big part of what Khalil is thinking about in terms of Saturday and the emotions of this deal. But yeah, right, ball game. The family support, the younger brother playing football, the older brother is a soccer coach, dad's right in the middle of it all. I love it, ball game, and I think it's a beautiful thing, and it all leads up to what's going to happen on Friday or on Saturday night in the Blue.
You think there's going to be grown men shedding tears when they call Khalil Shakir's name one last time for the whole senior day emotional thing? I'm sure there will be people in Albertson Stadium crying.
Let's hear what Khalil Shakir said about that.
No, it's an emotional moment. I definitely think, you know, when you think about it, and my older brother and his girlfriend are coming to town, and he's never been here. So just it's sharing that moment with him as well. It's just, I'm sure it's really emotional. I'm not sure exactly yet, like I was saying, how I'm going to feel, but you know, kind of just pushing that to the back of my head until the time actually comes to do it.
We had to push him and prod him just a little bit because we were looking for that one word, ball game. That one word, as you just said in the stands, a lot of people crying, mom and dad, brothers crying. But Khalil Shakir, who is so together and so smart and very businesslike, he is very, very businesslike. But what's his personality like when it comes to emotions?
I'd say I'm emotional about the right things, you know. You guys will probably see that this weekend. You know, I try not to show that emotional side as much. You know, I like to think of myself as a very happy, positive person. And like I've told you guys before, my mental health is very important to me, so I do anything to stay on top of that. The emotional aspect of everything is, you know, this year has been so great, so amazing, positive vibes through the ups and downs. It's just been amazing. So, you know, my happiness has trumped over everything else, and that's why I smile every single day. So I definitely think you guys might see me cry for the first time this weekend, but then again, we'll see. My happiness might trump over that as well, so I don't know. We'll see.
Smart dude.
Love him.
Yeah, love. We're going to miss Shaq. And you guys driving in your car right now, listening to that Khalil Shakir nodding your head up and down, saying, yeah, that's my guy, man. And if you haven't decided to go to this game, it's not like I'm pushing tickets for this school. But, man, if you have not been to a game this year, you got one game left, and it's Khalil Shakir, as he just announced today, he's gone. Why wouldn't you come watch Khalil Shakir play football just one more time?
Going to see him in football in the NFL for many, many years to come, I believe. You know, you never know. You never know how that's going to shake out, sure. But it's so cool to say, I saw that guy on the Blue.
I love it. Now, J.L. Skinner and George Helani are different stories. You might have more time to watch them play on the Blue. And in Skinner's case, maybe you won't. This is some great J.L. Skinner coming up. We talked to him today, and no one's heard this, and he talks about from winning, his mother playing, coming back, going to the NFL. J.L. Skinner, kind of unfiltered here coming up. We got some Helani as well, so do not miss that coming up. But first, our sweet bids. It's live right now at KTIK.com. You can bid on local items, furniture, art, jewelry, firearm classes, wedding photography, mattresses, all that cool stuff. Exotic cruises are on there right now, JP. You bid, you save. There's tons of great items, so just go to KTIK.com and find the sweet bids.
On Slash Radio.
While you're driving to work, he's talking about the biggest sports stories of the day. The DA Show. Damon Amendolara. Tomorrow morning on Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket.
Prater in the ball game. Let's take a call quickly before we get into our next segment. Sammy is holding on the line, wants to talk some Shakir. Sammy, welcome to Idaho Sports Talk, man. What you got? Quick.
Okay, real quick. So I was looking for an NFL comparison to Khalil Shakir, and the guy I came up with was Ocho Cinco. He's good hands, real fast, not like a crazy 6'5", anything like that, not a burner. That was the NFL comparison I came up with. While I was doing that, I found some interesting. So Ocho Cinco had 5 seasons in a row where he had 1,300 yards and 90 receptions. And there's only one player that did that the past 2 seasons, not including this year. 2019 and 2020, only one player had 90 receptions and 1,300 yards. Ocho Cinco did it 5 years in a row. And it's an interesting trivia question. I was wondering if you had any idea who that player is.
Appreciate
it. And what you think about the Khalil Shakir comparison.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Sammy. I've kind of compared Shaq to what I've seen with Robert Woods with the Rams, and I also think that he's more TJ Houshmandzadeh in Cincy than Chad Ocho Cinco, his build. And on the other one, quickly, Prater on the trivia question, out of sight, out of mind right now. I'm not sure who, and I kind of misheard that, I think. I'm not sure. Let's move on. Yeah. Okay. What do we got? Sorry about that, Sammy. 3 stars. We talked with today, and we just got the Shaq stuff. Let's move over to JL Skinner, because I thought this was fascinating, Prater.
You and I have been debating all season long on JL Skinner. We don't see eye to eye on JL Skinner. We both think he's a phenomenal football player. He's been fun to watch grow up. We both think he's got a bright, bright future in the National Football League. I think for you and I, it's all about the timing and the details and how that's going to look and how that's going to happen. And certainly had a chance to talk to him about that today. He's got a vision of where he wants to go, but he's not like Shaq in terms of he's 100% committed. He never gave a number. He never gave any kind of a answer there. I put out on social media, I thought he was 70-30 gone. It might be 60-40 gone. Bob Beeler's kind of, that's the number he threw out. I'm not sure where you feel about this. I think it would behoove him to stay. I want him to become a better football player. I think he's a phenomenal athlete with a phenomenal upside, and I still need to see him be a better mental football player, a physical football player, the complete package, check a lot of boxes. I think he could. If he goes now, I think he's probably a third-day guy. I think there's enough potential on this dude. Ballgame, I think he could be a first-day guy if everything came into place a year or two down the road. He's not going to stick around for 2, but I think he's going to stick around for 1 more. You think differently.
Yeah, I think he's gone. And just looking at him again today, just watching him being up next to him, he's just such a big dude. You look at him, and he already looks like he's in the NFL.
Ball game, he's skinny, beyond skinny. He's rail thin,
he's
dude.
Got skinny knees. He's got a little skinny legs.
He's got a skinny
big
torso.
Up top,
no,
and
he's not.
6'5", and to me, Prater, I think he is. He looks physically imposing to me. He looks like an NFL safety. He's not going to put any more weight on. That is not why he's coming back. That's his body. Maybe he puts 5 pounds on, but I don't think he's always going to have skinny knees, man. JL Skinner's gone. What?
I need to see, as Boise State strength coaches, as Boise State's football staff, and as Andy Avalos talks about all the time, you need to have the body armor to protect yourself. He talked about that with George Helani the other day, the body armor. And they talk about how this staff has done such a phenomenal job of getting certain football players the body armor you need to go off and play football. JL Skinner's 6'4". I'm 6'3 and a half. I think they shorted him.
I agree.
I think he's 6'4 and a half, maybe even pushing 6'5", because I can't look him in the eye. And I'm a legitimate 6'4". I don't look him in the eye ball game. So I'm going to say he's 6'5". And I think he's like 215, 220 at the most. I need at least 20 pounds of body armor.
I don't know if he can play at 235 and still have any type of agility, Brader.
There's plenty on there. Look at his torso. It is so stinking skinny.
Dude,
I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
On. You're talking like he's Manute Bol or something. Nah, dude. Yeah. I thought he'll even look closer to like 6'6", man. Maybe it's the hair he has, but he is a big dude. He's tall. He's got big biceps. You're right. He does have skinny knees. I noticed that. But he certainly talked today and blew us away, didn't he, Prater?
Yes, he did.
He talked to first about what? Senior day?
Yeah.
For his experience? Now, he's not going out there. He's not one of the 24, but JL Skinner on senior day.
I'm approaching it as if it's another game. I haven't really thought about that too much right now. I haven't really been focused on that at all. I've been focused on winning games, trying to get us back to the championship. So, I mean, I might take a little moment just to, you know, take it all in as it might be. But as of right now, that's not really on my mind at all.
There you go. That's kind of exactly where he stands. And I respect and appreciate and understand that. The most important thing he needs to do, he's got two things in front of him. He's got a football game to play on Saturday and obviously a season to finish. More importantly, he has to have a conversation with mom.
Not really too many things. It's just going to be based off of me. I'll probably talk to my mom about it, but when it comes to situations like this, I kind of just like to handle it myself because at the end of the day, it's going to be me in that position, no one else. So you have to really do what's best for you and what you think is best for you, and I'll just talk to my people about it, see what they think, but at the end of the day, I'm going to have to make it on my own.
How much has the NFL been a dream for you since you were how old?
I mean, it's really what started this whole thing for me, you know, it started this process for me just to be able to make it one day. But the main thing now, that used to be me when I was younger, but now since I've gotten to this stage, my main thing is getting a degree. I don't really want to leave here without a degree, so just to be able to have my mom watch me walk across that stage, that's really the biggest thing in my mind right now. So it's not really just the fact of the NFL, it's really just about getting my degree and maybe going to the NFL, but at the end of the day, I have that degree.
Will you get that this December or in the spring?
No, I will not. So that's something I have to look at. I just have to figure out what is best for me. If coming back is or going, it just depends on the time and the situation.
Do you know what the target date is in terms of the degree, how close you are?
I think I'm a year out because I'm a junior right now, so I'm doing all of my junior year classes. But I just probably had to finish them online or stay another year. It just depends.
Finish them online or stay another year and go to class. J.L. Skinner is contemplating leaving this school. He's just not sure yet. You know, and he kind of, I mean, I don't want to, he didn't snap or anything, but I asked him a question about football and winning and leaving early and what it means. And he had some passion on that answer, Prater. He was talking.
Yeah,
if I do come back, I'm here to win. I'm not really caring about myself. I'm here to win. I want to bring back a championship to the city of Boise, the state of Idaho. That's really going to be my main goal. I don't really care about myself at the end of the day. That's all cool, the separate things about myself. It's all cool, but at the end of the day, if you're not winning, nobody cares. So that's really my biggest thing for me.
The first part of that question that you asked, we didn't hear it. You talked about him last year during, I think, after the season was over, and asked him to grade himself, and he said he gave himself a C, and he stuck around during the holidays to try to make himself better as a football player. He's definitely gotten better as a football player. There's no doubt about that. And we talked about him. I think that's probably all the sound. There was one that maybe got left out there. There was one more quote that we were supposed to listen to about he got really adamant about just being a winner, and he kind of elaborated on that. I think it's important for him to stick around. I think it's important for him to go into the NFL at the top of his game, and I don't think he feels like he's that guy yet. I mean, last year he graded himself a C. We didn't ask him the direct question today, but I think he probably would have given himself maybe a B or B+, and he seems like he needs to be and wants to be an A+ kind of guy ball game.
He punished himself last season, Prater.
Yeah.
You know, he was going to go home. Mom wanted him home. San Diego's beautiful at Christmas time, and J.L. Skinner said, "No, I didn't. I had a bad year, and I got to be in the weight room, and I got to stay on track right now. I'm not going home, Mom. I'm staying up here during the holidays," and that's what he did, and it's paid off. Like, you can sell it. J.L. Skinner, I think he's a day three. I think he's a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick. Avery Williams went in the fifth. John Bates went in the fifth. I'd kind of put him right there. Maybe if he goes there and just blows up the whole combine, maybe he's a late fourth. I don't know. But for kids today, like, I think if you're going in the fifth round this year, I don't know if that maybe puts him in the third round next year. And does he want to forego $700,000 this year for a chance next year to sign a contract, maybe as a third round pick where he's making a little bit more, a lot more, a couple hundred grand more. But I don't know. That's the decision that he's going to have to make. And he told us that's the decision that he is going to make. Not his mom, not his counsel. He says, it's my decision, but I'm going to talk to my friends and find out what's best for me. That's a story that isn't going anywhere. Boise State fan, you might be losing J.L. Skinner this year, and I think you've probably factored that in, too.
Yeah, I think he's coming back. I think he's coming
you
back.
You think he's coming back? You said 70-30, man.
I think he's coming back. I really think it's important. I won't be shocked at all. That's not a prediction. That's just, I got a gut feeling. I think he's coming back. He talked about the degree, and he's at least a year off. I don't think he could back off on that and take care of business somewhere down the road.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a major, major deal. But I just think he's a different dude. I really think he's a different dude. I don't think he's out there chasing millions or chasing NFL stardom, and I don't think he's ready for that right now. I think he gets it that he needs another year, and he could be a monster superstar in this league and in the future, and his name could be a monster superstar in this country when it comes to college football with another year of development. I think he needs to have another year of development. His targeting issues, I think, have gotten to his head. I asked him about that today. He denied that, and that's fine. Maybe they haven't. Maybe I'm wrong. But his production's been a little bit soft since all those targeting penalties. He's trying to deal with that. He talks about being a 6'5 dude, tackling 5'10 dudes.
Yep, he talked about
that. I get all that. I think he's coming back. He needs to come back, in my opinion.
What do you guys think? Fat Guy's Fresh Deli Hotline. Give us a second. 208-424-9300. JL Skinner, is he staying or is he going to the NFL draft? And speaking of the NFL, Prater, we also had a chance to talk to George Helani. He talked today, too. Again, we had the three big stars. And George Helani, is there any chance there, George Helani, if he finishes really well, maybe leaves for the NFL draft himself?
I'm not really, like, looking forward to that, you know. I'm just trying to, you know, win the games and do my best job, contribute to the team. But I'm not really looking down towards that road right now.
Do you plan on being back next year 100%? Or is that something you still have to figure out after the season?
You know, I honestly want to come back just because, this year it didn't go how I wanted it to go. So I just want to come back and make sure full go, healthy.
George Helani wants to come back. He wants to be healthy. I think George Helani wants to have that Jay Ajayi, Jeremy McNichols, Alexander Mattison season. You know, that's the only thing that's kind of eluding him right now, is putting it all together for a full year and entering that discussion. You know, the season Brock Forsey had. I mean, there's been backs at this school, Prater. Doug, they've had just monster statistical output seasons, and Helani has it. He barely got to 1,000 yards as a freshman. They needed the bowl game extra carries, essentially, just to get him over to 1,000. He can't get it this year, obviously. Well, he could, but is he going to run for 200 yards a pop over the next four games? Unlikely. But that's good news for Bronco Nation, man, because they need him back there in the lineup. No question, George Helani. Good stuff. That's JL Skinner, a little bit of Khalil Shakir, and George Helani right here on Idaho Sports Talk. We got soapboxes. JP's got the news coming up as well. We're going to keep rolling this thing, so don't go anywhere. It's KTIK, The Ticket.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Vol Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket.
And services.
If you've got 3 minutes, we've got some self-important things to say. It's the 90-Second Soapbox with Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio The Tick.
LeBron James is the greatest physical specimen I've ever seen on a basketball floor. I'm not saying he's the best ever, but physically I've never seen anybody be able to do everything on the court physically. And that's what LeBron's done. And I've often wondered, what's his twilight going to look like? Is LeBron going to stay too long? Maybe because he wants his kid to get there and play with him. Whatever the reason. Maybe he's still trying to further a brand that probably doesn't need any furthering. But his twilight, I think we're there. And I think this is the year that it's going to begin. We're going to see the twilight of LeBron James' career when he's just not King James anymore. He's still good. He still helps. He's incredibly intelligent, as everybody knows on the floor. But he's not going to be able to maybe take over a game, take over a series, maybe take over an entire playoff run like we've seen him do on multiple occasions. Now, the numbers are still there. He's only played 6 games, about half of the team's games. But he's dropping 25 a night. He's coming, what, with 6 boards, 7 assists, couple steals, and a block. It's typical LeBron James statistical production, but it's less of it. So then I'm thinking, okay, maybe that's going to be LeBron's twilight. He's going to turn into one of those guys who plays 52 games a season. He'll help you in the playoffs, but you're not going to be able to rely on LeBron to carry you. I mean, last year, he played 34 minutes a game as a 36-year-old. You know, we'll see. But twilight, father time, you might be getting close. Get off it.
The Idaho Steelheads have been playing hockey in downtown Boise since the fall of 1997. And it's been a beautiful, beautiful relationship. Yeah, I'm biased because I love hockey. I've been a big fan of this team, and I think it's changed the sports landscape, not only of downtown Boise, but of just the sports scene here in Boise, period. you can't imagine what they do down there if you haven't been to a game. Tonight, there'll be 4,000 people in downtown Boise watching hockey. And later this weekend, on Friday and Saturday, they'll have sold out 5,000 crowds of 5,000. There's been great NHL players coming and going. There's been good coaches coming and going, support staff coming and going. Ownership has been the same and steady. And tonight, history will be made, my friends. Johnny Ballgame, my proud, proud radio partner, will be making his debut as the public address announcer for the Idaho Steelheads. He's not the full-time guy. Don't worry. If you love Britt, he's still hanging around on Fridays and Saturdays. But Johnny is grooming himself to be the weekend Wednesday replacement guy, maybe a couple of Sundays. And I have no doubt that one day, Johnny Ballgame will be doing every single Idaho Steelheads game. Johnny Ballgame, the other day I got a text message from my girlfriend, and she said, be nice to Johnny. She said, I've been beating up on you too much, and I've been not being very nice. Ballgame, that's probably true. I tend to be a bully, especially when I'm grumpy, and I'm grumpy all the time. But tonight, my friend, I have never been more proud in my life of a radio partner, a work partner, of what you're about to accomplish. You were born for this job. You were born with a microphone in your mouth, and you are better at it than anybody I've ever known. The day you joined this show was one of the greatest days of my life, and I'm not sucking up to you, and I'm not giving you the Prater hyperbole. I'm excited for you tonight. Your work staff is going. You got family and friends that are going to be going there. You got a ton of support. I know the Steelheads, and I'll even leak this out a little bit, and I don't even know if you know this. They sought you out, Ballgame. They came up with your name and said, I want to go after Johnny Ballgame because they know what kind of job you can do. Ballgame, you're going to be spectacular tonight. I cannot wait. Khalil Shakir may cry on Saturday, and Prater may cry on Wednesday.
Go out there. Have fun. Don't screw things up.
From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio The Ticket.
Ballgame, I love you, buddy. And just as Barry Melrose said right there, go be yourself. Go have fun, and you are absolutely 100% going to kill it.
Not much gets me out of the house on a Wednesday night, Johnny, but you will tonight, buddy.
Nice. Okay.
This ticket right. Sports update sponsored by Larry H. Miller Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. BSU on the blue this week to take on New Mexico. Enjoy the game. And while you're out and about, you need a new quality pre-owned car or truck or SUV. Just visit Larry H. Miller Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in the Boise Auto Mall online at DodgeBoise.com. Well, we heard a lot of talk from J.L. Skinner and Khalil Shakir, George Helani today. J.L. Skinner is production down a little bit here these last few games, but as he goes into New Mexico, he says his production on the field, it doesn't matter as long as Boise State comes out with the W.
Oh, that's a good thing for me. I mean, honestly, a win is a win. I don't really care about myself. I just had to do what I had to do at those situations. Not like I was just trying to just go fish for those positions. I'm just really here to win. So if we're winning, I have no problem with anything. I could get zero tackles, 0 minutes. I don't care. As long as we win, I do not care. And that's the biggest thing for me is winning. I'm a winner at the end of the day. Myself is out of it. I'm not a selfish person. I'm a winner. So I like to win and do anything for us to win.
Where do you think you've gotten better as a football player? Where do you want to get better as a football player?
Just overall, I just want to get better at everything. I'm not great at anything right now. In my eyes, I'm just average. I'm not really great at anything. So I just want to continue to improve everything and not really focus on one thing. Just improve my overall game and just continue to develop into a good player.
We want winners.
That's an unbelievable answer. I mean,
that was J.L. Skinner.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, the way he carries, and I believe him. I don't think he's just sitting up there saying crap. I 100% believe him. And I truly believe that that's the reason why he's coming back.
As we mentioned, Idaho Steelheads at home tonight take on Adirondack, starting a three-game series at ICU, Idaho Central Arena, downtown. Steelheads tied for second place in the Mountain Division. And we have got that game tonight, 1350 KTIK, the ticket, also on 95.3 FM. If you'd like to listen to the golden tones of Colin Shuck on the FM, you can do that as well. And finally, the College of Idaho and NNU. It's the big basketball rivalry. First of two this year for the Battle of the Mayor's Cup. Tonight's game is in Caldwell on the campus of C of I, J.A. Albertson's Activity Center. Those two teams have met 208 times going back to 1933. The Yotes holding a 122-81 advantage. But you can throw the records out when you play a rival. Right, Johnny?
Ah, yep.
that game tonight. No TV. It's been on TV the last few years, but none tonight. They hope to maybe get the next one on TV.
I wish they would. That was a fun deal. You guys will just have to come to the
ICA
tonight and watch the Steelies. Did we mention $2 beer Whoa. Night? No wonder the attendance is so spectacular. I thought it was because of me. Then they said, oh, it's also $2 beer night. Just kidding, Prater. But yeah, $2 beer night's kind of nice.
It's a popular one.
Definitely. Hey, speaking of popular, we still have sweet bids going on at KTIK.com. Bid on local items, furniture, art, jewelry, firearm classes, wedding photography, even mattresses, plus exotic cruises and vacations. You bid, you save. Tons of great items now on sweet bids at KTIK.com.
The good. The not so good. Long form, short form. Tell us who you are or be anonymous. We'll take it all. It's time for the feedback finale on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Go out there, have fun, don't screw things up.
Which starts us with Geico Caveman number 3. Took the time to write an email for you, Johnny. It says, Johnny, do not get those hockey players' names pronounced incorrectly. Particularly the visiting teams. Those players get really, really ticked off when they hear their name announced wrong. They'll say you're disrespecting their father. They'll send players who are not playing up to the production booth to have a word or fight with you if you repeatedly announce a name incorrectly. Trust me. Wow.
I don't know. No, they don't care. They don't even hear it. The visiting players from... You know, Moose Jaw, Canada, doesn't care if some yahoo named Johnny Ballgame butchered his name. But I won't, though. Guys, I'm going to be fine. Okay? I'm going to get there. Most of the things I say have nothing to do with hockey. It's like Mike Prater, police escort needed, gate C, you know. Yeah.
Could happen tonight, Paul. $2 beer night.
Oh, man. Oh, man, we will have a hell of a show tomorrow if that happens. Prater!
Man.
Ty from Meridian says, don't let Prater and JP get you more nervous, Johnny. Just remember, the average fan won't know your name, or be able to tell the difference. Just bring the enthusiasm, and like Melrose said, just have fun and you'll be fine.
Go out there, have fun, don't screw things up.
Don't screw things up, Johnny.
I love it. It's a great bit.
Vandal Al wrote in and said, when JP said Prater has a booth with his name on it in the back of the corner club, I nearly fell out of my car laughing. Everyone knows the only thing similar to a booth in the back of the club is the men's bathroom. Is it a urinal or the can?
Yeah, there's no booths in the corner club.
There are no booths in there?
There's barely chairs.
Really?
There's a cement floor. There's okay. four walls. There's a makeshift bar. And there's a lot of Rainier beer.
Rainier,
yeah.
Huh?
Did I pretty much describe it, ballgame?
Yeah.
It's not much more than that, is it?
A shuffleboard table that's probably not even there anymore. Anybody let me know on social media that it was broken down. I mean, it's one of those places, yeah.
Yeah.
Dudes are going to the corner club for two reasons, and one of them is sports.
I love bars like that because they have four walls. I think they have doors on all four sides of the bar. And you could literally just open up the four doors in the morning and hose down the place.
That's probably how they do it. I mean, it's sticky. Wow. And it's very small. You know, I'll give them a shout out. I loved Mingles as well down the street on Main Street in Moscow. It's the big pool hall. That place has a ton of space. You could fit 12, maybe 15 corner clubs inside of Mingles. So I kind of went back and forth.
But it's no corner club.
No, it doesn't have the second reason you go to the corner club. That isn't as prevalent.
JP or Johnny
at Mingles as it is at the corner.
What
club.
Did you just signal to Prater?
He's talking sign language. Okay. I got it.
I did some sign language for Prater there.
From brother to brother, I totally got it, buddy.
There's not as much of that.
It almost came out of your mouth.
There's a lot of space.
It almost came out of your mouth, actually. Yeah. So, another text on the Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Johnny asks if Staples stores still exist, and the very first commercial during the following break is a Staples advertisement.
What?
Way to rep the sponsors, ball game.
His name's already been turned into HR.
I know. But here's the deal, though. Actually, I'm just going to shut up.
It's probably best
if
you
right. I'm just going to shut up.
Save that voice.
Yeah.
All right. We've got Johnny Puck Game. Nah, Johnny Slapshot. How about Johnny Forecheck?
I like Slapshot Johnny.
Slapshot Johnny? That's
the cool thing
that.
About the name Johnny is it goes with everything, and you can go put it first or last. You know? Johnny Ball Game. Slapshot Johnny. Like, anyway, it's just an easy, it's a cool name for nicknames.
It's like yesterday your Rock Jocks and Pop Culture question had to do with the Outsiders. And I once told my son that he should name his band Do It For Johnny from the Outsiders.
What do you think of that, Prater?
That's not bad.
I liked it. But I like he it. He said no. Nobody would know what he was talking about.
Do you know what a forecheck is, Johnny?
No.
All right. I need you to study, and by the end of the season, I need you to be a very smart hockey.
You know what always confuses me about hockey? Icing. Icing always confuses me.
That's a very easy one, JP.
I know that one.
You know it?
It's basically a cherry. It's to eliminate the cherry picking of hockey.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yep, so you can't cherry pick. But a forecheck, like a
It's like when you just come in and kind of...
You know what a forecheck is?
Well, I think you just kind of come up and you hit a guy.
Well, it's a little bit more... A forecheck is, for the most part, the basic part of a forecheck is when an offensive player has to turn defense and get the puck back in his own zone.
Oh, that's a forecheck. So yes. An offensive player.
But it's a lot more broad than that. But
in his own zone has to become a defender.
To get the puck back. Forechecking, get the puck back, keep the ball, keep the puck inside your zone.
Luckily, I won't have to say
no,
that.
No, that's not your deal
That's
tonight.
Not a PA no. job. That's a play-by-play guy or color.
But you also don't want to be the hockey PA guy who doesn't know about hockey.
Yeah, that's what I got. That's the biggest challenge for me year one, is to become a hockey guy.
And you've made significant progress in the last month. Once again, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Dave in Garden Valley wants your guys' opinion. Prater and Ballgame, do you think over or under 10 wins for Boise State football next year?
Hell, I don't even know if they're going to win Saturday. I don't know what their schedule is like next year.
If you gave me good odds on that right now... Yeah, I'd put $20 on it, and I would be like, okay, yeah, boy. So 10 is a win. So you'd be 9.5, or 10 is the line. So I get a push at 10.
Yes, you would.
Well, if the over under is 10, and I get a push, then I need him to win 11 games. 10 only gets me a push.
Yeah, I'm definitely going under.
If it's an over under of 10, it has to be over.
There you go, Dave. If you're betting next year's games, go the under, probably.
or just hold off.
Wow.
Let's see who's coming back.
What we got tomorrow?
Oh, we got some stuff.
Oh, yeah, we do. Ex-Boise State first-round draft pick coming on tomorrow, right?
Yes, we do.
He's coming this week.
It's tomorrow.
See ya! Kate Prater in the ballgame. Love ya.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.